This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
I'm sick with this, I'm sick with this. Since you wasn't a part of my judgment, my own sweet time didn't teach what I found. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated, I don't want to be defeated.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the show. My podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told, as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. And we have a great episode today. I speak to Ollie Baxter of Broadside. We're currently on tour. We got to pile in his van and the back bench seat of the bus and have a chat about all kinds of things. And it was terrific. And thank you to Ollie for doing this. Definitely this week we have better audio quality as it's done in person. I figured out what was wrong with last week's with Howard Jones. It's still a great episode. Go back. It just took me a lot of work to fix the audio and make it even listenable. But today we have much more professional sound quality. So I'm proud of this one. I'm proud of this one with my very fancy microphones and recorder. Anyways, before we hop into that one, I want to thank you guys so much for being here, for being subscribed, for being a member of the All Access Club. If you are, anything you do to support the show, telling a friend, writing a review on iTunes, all that stuff goes such a long way. I just realized we're going to hit the 120 episode mark pretty soon, which is crazy. Oh my God, it blows my mind and warms my heart at the same time. So thank you for the support. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, very, very easy. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you have suggestions for the show, for upcoming guests, really anything. If you want to tell me I'm doing a great job, if you want to tell me I'm doing a horrible job, well, we have another option for that. It is the hate line. 657-666-HATE, H-A-T-E. You can leave a message for me and you can let me have it, really with whatever you want to say. And I do listen to those all, and I do roll out the clips from time to time. So again, the hate line number, 657-666-HATE. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. I've got a Snapchat. We're not on Vero yet. I don't even know if that's how you say it. Vero. I swear, like, one day, my entire Instagram feed was just this Vero thing. I thought it was called Arrow at first. I thought it was just, like, a cool little V logo. But hey, I'm on there personally. I have not gotten a Lead Singer Syndrome account, mostly because I can't figure out how. But hey, nonetheless, that's a new thing that I think it's so funny how everyone's like desperate for something that they'd never heard of like 2 days before. It's ridiculous. Speaking of desperate, maybe you're desperate for all new band merchandise. Maybe you need a new hoodie for the spring or a windbreaker or a hockey jersey, or something crazy that you don't even know about, you know where to go get it. Rockabilia.com. They are a sponsor of the show. They are awesome. And they have over 500,000 items, all officially licensed from the bands. So the bands are getting paid. You don't have to worry about knockoffs or cheap quality or anything. This is the real deal. Rockabilia.com. We have a new promo code, so listen up if you've heard this, you know, my spiel before. We have a new promo code. It is PC Jabberjaw, which I think you probably can spell. I'll spell it out anyways. J-A-B-B-E-R-J-A-W, PC Jabberjaw. Put in that promo code, save 15% off your entire order, rockabilia.com, PC Jabberjaw. Check it out. If you want to help the show, like I always say, check out the All Access Club. We're well over 250 members. It's a great community. We have so much fun. And on this tour, I'm out with my band Silverstein right now. We're on tour across America. I have met and hung out with so many sinners. It has been incredible. So much fun. Whether it's just saying what's up, having some beers, whatever it is, it's been really, really rad. So shout out to my sinners worldwide. If you want to become one, check out the All Access Club. It is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. You get a bunch of stuff, but for as little as $6 a month, you can really help out the show with bonus episodes, merchandise, and all that other stuff that you can get. So check it out. All right, let's jump in to my conversation in the back of the van with Ollie Baxter of Broadside. I'm here in a van, the Broadside van.
Welcome.
You guys got snacks. I see Twizzlers. Yeah. I see not one, but two packages of Oreos right here.
Whatever you want, we can get. We have broken seat belts.
If you go on like a long tangent,
and
you know, the listeners hear me like ruffling around with some snacks,
yep.
It's because I'm bored of what you're saying.
That's okay.
I just need to get some Oreos.
Let me ask you a question, though. If you were in the backseat of this van, would you not want to be with snacks?
No, well, I mean, anywhere you want to be in life, generally, if there's snacks, it's just better.
That's valid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. First question, what are some of your favorite snacks?
My favorite snacks, okay, I'm very boring. I like crackers.
Crackers?
I like, the best combination would be Fig Newtons and ginger ale. I'm very grandpa about it.
Fig Newtons and ginger ale?
Yeah.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah,
a lot of different sorts of types of sugar things going on.
Well, see, like, I don't like to be, like, you know, age specific, so you can hang out with grandmas or you can hang out with, like, toddlers with that kind of snack, you know? So
that's
if you're
true.
Babysitting, either on the spectrum of living or dying or just being born or about to die, you know, you can feed anyone, so.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in years.
What's your favorite kind of snacks?
Oh, man. I'm the one asking the questions here, dude.
All right, I apologize.
No, I don't know.
He doesn't eat
I like,
snacks, people.
I like some kind of like, I guess I like some things that are a little off, you know, off in left field a little
okay.
bit. Like, I really like black licorice.
Shut up. No one likes black licorice.
I really like it.
Like, genuinely.
Yes,
not
I do.
Even to be cool.
I do, no. They have these, and I think you guys have them in America, too, but they're kind of like it's like a pipe. It looks like a pipe, and it has like little red things at the end, so it looks like you're smoking, which probably
cool.
shouldn't fly.
It shouldn't, but you know, some things escape the radar of the world.
Remember when they had, and again, we have a lot of people don't know this, we have completely different candy bars. We don't even call them candy bars, we call them chocolate bars. Completely
Boring.
Different ones in Canada than you have.
Right.
We have completely different ones. But one thing we had when I was a kid, they were like these bubble gum cigarettes.
Yeah,
you would buy
those.
Them in a cigarette box, and then you would blow into it, and actual smoke
would come out.
Like
for a couple,
powder
yeah.
would come up. That's terrible.
It's really awful. It's really like, look at this. Isn't it cool that my kids can be like me?
I mean, I know.
But you only get a couple of powder puffs, you know?
You're
after
right.
that, then you got to go cold turkey.
Then
you got to quit.
Eat.
You got to chew that nasty-ass gum afterwards.
You too.
So it's like punishment in a way.
Well, anyway, snacks aside, we're here on tour in Buffalo, New York,
which is
like pretty much my second home.
Okay.
It's only about, a lot of people don't know this, it's very close to Toronto. It's only about 2 hours from Toronto, and where I grew up, maybe an hour and a half away. So I used to come to a lot of shows here. So it's a great, great city. Have you had much experience here in Buffalo?
Yes. We've played here about this would be our third time, and usually Buffalo doesn't fuck with us because, like, we're not really aggressive, you know, and this is, like, a tough city. You know, the North
well,
is,
Well, Cute
like,
is what we aim
tough.
For is from here.
Well,
that's not a very tough band.
Fuck me. I'm going to leave this right now.
But, yes, there are also,
you know,
I mean, there used
of,
to be a festival called Tuffalo Fest.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I've literally watched people look at me and be like, I don't want to look at you. I felt that. They didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it. And that's okay, because my whole thing is, like, if we can at least make them laugh, like, that's kind of our whole thing, you know? It's like, if we can make people laugh, then maybe they'll tell their girlfriends or their daughters or whatever about us, so. But I'm excited to be here. Last time we played at, what's the venue over there? It's closed now.
I have no idea.
Well, it was a nice one.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah,
here
no,
we
I
are.
Don't know. There's, what's the one? The show place? Showcase? How did I not know? A Showplace Theater. That was the one when I was growing up.
Okay.
And then there was like the Extreme Wheels. The skate park was a place for a while.
We were just being told about that. That sounds awesome.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
It's not
good.
Awesome?
No. It was,
even for a skate park?
It was bad. It was a bad venue. Like they had like it was this huge area, so it sounded terrible.
Okay.
They had like really, really bad PA. and it was kind of stood in a weird sort of like on the top of a skate ramp, but not really. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. But I love Buffalo. Love being here.
Yeah.
How's the tour been for you so far?
It's
coming
been,
to the end here.
It's been pretty incredible. Not to suck your dick or anything, but we're giant Silverstein fans. So even if the whole tour sucked and we were just trash and didn't make any money, it would be one of those things where you're like, hey, the rest of the world and the industry, we've toured with Silverstein. So like for us,
okay,
you know, that's pretty fucking amazing to us. But you guys are awesome. Tonight Live, Jenna has such an amazing energy and just like dope style and just everything about her. The whole the crew and everybody's been super dope. But for us, it's been really nice because our demographic has been up to this point like younger, like you know, teenage girls, and that's because of we've been blessed with playing like Warped Tour and stuff like that. So it's really nice to be able to see what we could do outside of our comfort zone. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's a first for us, especially like on a level like this tier of tour. So it's been a really nice challenge. And I mean, a couple of everybody I think on this tour has gotten sick at some point, but this is probably one of my favorite tours I've ever done in like the 6 years that I've actually been.
That's
in this
amazing.
Band.
Yeah. Well, dude, we're very happy to have you. I mean, we were a little concerned because I know last year you dropped off a tour that you were supposed to headline.
Right. Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. And we were like, oh shit, is this band going to break up before we can even bring them out? So what was that about? If you don't mind talking about
it.
No,
I don't mind.
It seems like you guys are back and doing, you know, rejuvenated, whatever
right,
it is.
Of course.
What happened there? Because a lot of people, your fans, were scared they weren't going to do our tour.
We weren't going to do our tour. So what happened was we had just done a full US with Real Friends, and that was a couple of months. And I just turned 29 years old, and I was going through this crazy wave of like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I valuable outside of the internet? Like we've come up in such a weird way. Like, you know, we were putting on our second record. I didn't know if we were gonna have the numbers that I felt like we should because of all this dumb shit you see on the internet, all this fake success or real success, whatever it is. It's just constantly stimulating you.
Right.
And I was getting really paranoid, and we did that tour, and then we did a UK tour with a band called Trash Boat. And
Love them. Love those guys.
And so after we did that, you know, like the Trash Boat run for us, as dope as it was and as beautiful as the UK was, we didn't do too well because it's just different kind of vibes. But, you know, I got home and I just had a full fledged series of panic attacks. And usually I have those and I can kind of, you know, zen out. I live out in LA, so we do a lot of like meditating on hippie shit, you know,
okay.
like weird hippie shit, sipping kombucha through a straw. But, you know, I just couldn't pull myself out of it, and I was freaking out. I was taking out on everyone. I was just going through a bunch of family stuff, and I was like, I got to pull out of this tour because I'm going to be selling a fake fucking image to these people, and it's not how I want this to go down.
Okay.
And I didn't know if it was me, if it was the band, if it was the genre of music I feel like I'm losing touch with or what it is, but since then I've, you know, done a lot of like self-healing and just self-reflection and pushing through it, but that was the first time ever in my life that I was like, I can't do this. And usually I'm pretty prominent with perseverance and pushing through things, but I was fucking miserable, like truly miserable.
So what happened to get you, pull you out of that? It was just, you just needed some time off. Like,
yeah,
it was
just
needed a little bit burned out. And
yeah, I was super burned out. Like it's so fucking dark to like put on. I mean, as you know, like it sucks to just sit back and watch everyone that even your friends and your enemies just succeed, and you're just thinking to yourself, what the fuck am I not getting here? Like, what's not going on? You know what I'm saying? And a couple of things weren't translating in my life, and I was terrified that I was gonna be fucking just like, I put so much time into a craft that maybe I've just, you know, bullshitted my whole way through. And then, you know, I talked to a couple of my idols and people that, you know, guide me, whether it be spiritually, physically, and they were just like, no one really knows what the fuck they're doing, man. They just do it. And
yeah,
so I just needed to just kind of figure that out for myself, I think.
Well, I think that that's so true, man. And like, there's a common expression that gets thrown around on the show all the time, and it's fake it till you make it.
I know.
Because there is really not any method.
I know.
You know what I mean? To this at all. And it's, even though what we do as singers and bands traveling around the country, around the world, it's been done like
so many times. So many people have done it. You'd think there'd be some kind of playbook,
right? Like how
on what to do, but there isn't.
There isn't.
There just isn't. And yeah, and you can do everything right. I'm using right. the quotation marks
course,
around
course,
my
yeah.
head. You can't see me. I'm here though. I'm quoting.
I see it.
You can do everything right, and everything can go wrong.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and it doesn't seem to matter how good you are, how
right.
bad you are sometimes. It just, some things can go perfectly, and some things can go terribly.
It's bizarre, you know, and like, it's crazy because it's like you put yourself out there, you do all the, again, quotations, right stuff, but then you have to evaluate what you can do, and then I just felt like there was nothing else I could do, and maybe... That's such a fucking dark world. Like, and a bit of ego is mixed in that as well. I'm not going to begin to pretend that I don't think that I deserve more than I have. And I think that ego is speaking louder than the rest of it. And I just need to chill the fuck out.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. That's for you to be able to realize that and say it. And
that's
not
the bit
be,
of it now, yeah.
And not be embarrassed about it at all. Like, just be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Because everybody in this world, you're your most important person.
Right.
Exactly. And you should be.
You should be. And that's the thing I had to realize is like, I was like, dude, Ollie, you need to understand what you need, and you need to have that conversation with, whether it be my mother, about like the type of relationship we have, or, you know, like someone I'm in a relationship with, or even my fucking bandmates. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like, you just have to be able to be like, this sucks, but I really just need to say it. And like, we're the kind of band that'll just joke forever, but inside there's some like deep-rooted aggression there. But I think that's just how we are now, like as just people. I think that's the way we've evolved to, but I really had to sit back and be like, this, I'm just gonna shoot all my shots and just be like, this is how I fucking feel, and really cut out all the dead weight that I possibly can. And a couple months ago, I mean, I've shifted, obviously I'm here.
Great. Are there plans to redo that tour? I mean, you must.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely
have to do
headliner,
I'm just assuming.
And we've never
probably
done
a
headliner,
good stepping
yeah.
stone, yeah.
For, I'd agree.
So yeah. That's great. Well, it hasn't been totally easy on this tour. I mean, you guys missed some shows.
Yeah.
With a van breakdown in literally the worst part of the country to have a van breakdown.
Right. Are you going to say it, or are you just going to say the worst part of the country?
No, I don't think it's the worst part of the country. Do you?
No. No, we had fun in Kansas for 4 days. No, we really did. We went to every restaurant.
Yep, you're like basically regulars in Lawrence, Kansas.
I almost got a job there. our van broke down, you know, I caught like a minor form of strep for 2 days, but we're blessed with...
I love your voice cracking.
You know, strep.
Strep.
I just went through puberty. I'm just nervous. I'm next to Lee Shane right now. But luckily, you know, Dorian's in our band. He's a phenomenal singer, and he was able to just carry my whack-ass weight until I could get that amoxicillin pumping in my no-insurance body. $200 for amoxicillin, by the way, kids. Love your parents.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's
States.
Wild, dude, because I don't have... See, there's a lot of misconceptions. We'll go off on a little tangent here about healthcare in Canada. Healthcare in Canada is free. I have a little card in my pocket that says health on it,
okay,
and I show it to the doctor, and all that is free. I can go to the doctor. It's all free, all that stuff.
Right.
Whatever I need. If I have to have a major surgery, like I said, I had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy I had to have, it was free, all covered completely. But... We are not covered with drugs.
Okay.
So if you don't have like a drug insurance plan, either through like your work or like you could buy one or whatever,
right,
then you have to pay full price for drugs. So I do. If I get sick and I have to get, like some kind of penicillin, amoxicillin,
right,
whatever, I have to pay full price for it. However, it is not $200.
Right.
It's like for amoxicillin, it's like, I don't know, $20 maybe.
It's crazy, man.
With no insurance for me. And then of course, like most people in Canada do have insurance. I just don't, because I don't have like a proper employer.
Right, of course not.
With actual that, you know, those kind of benefits. And I don't really need it, because if I were to have something major happen to me, I would be covered under the government insurance.
Right.
So that's fine. But that's crazy to me that it's $200
yeah.
for
and
what, for like 10
clinic.
Pills or something?
Yeah, they gave me like 15 pills. It was amoxicillin. And that was it. And they were just like, take this to the fucking Walgreens or whatever, CVS. And I did. And they were like, it's going to be $200. I was like, that's nuts. And the worst part was I waited 2 hours. And then I got in there in like 3 minutes. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to kick this out of your body with amoxicillin. Just thinking to myself, That's fine, but I hope that's a problem.
Oh, so it was $200 to see the doctor and get the...
No, that was like $75 to see the doctor.
Right.
And then $200 for well, with the mixture of that. I think the actual pills themselves were like probably like $40, but the whole process was like $230 or $240.
You know what else is really weird too is because I'm in the U.S. so much and all over the world.
Of course, yeah.
So I buy travel medical insurance too.
Oh, okay.
That covers me when I'm out of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $85 for the year.
That's fucking insane.
So if today something were to happen, if I were to stub my toe or whatever,
right.
I could go to the doctor here using my travel insurance and it would be free as well.
Okay.
And it's only like $85 a year for me, I guess because I'm Canadian, because it's like supplemented through, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but
yeah.
There you go, kids.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's... But anyways, you got sick, and, you know, you talk about ego.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Ollie Baxter. I'm the fucking lead singer of this band.
Yeah.
And you had no problem seemingly say, hey, man, I can't sing. Sing. Dude, take my role and sing. Because that's, for a lot of people, I think that's a weird thing.
I'd agree. I mean, a lot of people were like, can you do this? Like, even when I was talking, like, I was going to drop out of the thing, the guys were like, maybe we can do the tour. And then they were like, no, we're a band, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people are like, does that hurt your feelings? And I think a couple of months ago it would have, but I think I'm starting to see the big picture. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you have to think at, a lot of people don't think like this. They think, it's not that we're not consumers, it's just like we have to think about things a little differently. So I think about giving a show to someone as opposed to attending a show when I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Like after we play, I get to then go to the audience, watch Tonight Alive and Silverstein play. But before that, I have to fucking be paranoid and get ready and make sure that I'm killing it to kill that 30 minutes, right? So I was thinking about big picture, like we have to give them a show. Even if it's 80% of a show, like we can't just be like fucking dicks one to you guys or
right.
Like it, you know that the show must go on.
Yeah.
It truly does.
Yeah.
And I've had to sing through like if it was like if I opened my mouth and nothing came out. If I had 25% of a voice, I would have just done a really shitty, scratchy version. It's not my brand and it's not like my style of singing, but I would have done it. But with this it was like I know they're gonna get quality. I love Dorian very much. And I also hate him, but that's what brothers do. But, you know, like, so I was like, I'd rather put our name out there as opposed to a missed opportunity. Is it hard? Yeah, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to put something out there that I wouldn't stand behind. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Totally. So, I know it's funny that we met a long time ago.
Yeah.
You were working for PETA.
Yeah, in 2010
on the Scream It Like You Mean It tour. I'm not sure if anyone listened to this attended that tour. It was, what a lineup though. It was we headlined it. And yes. It was Silverstein, Emery, We Came As Romans.
Was it I Set My Friends On Fire?
I Set My Friends On Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Sky Eats Airplane.
Yeah.
Close to Home was the opening.
Was the
band.
Opening, yep.
It was supposed to be Sleeping With Sirens.
No way.
Sleeping With Sirens was supposed to be, the band, and I remember they got kicked off the tour, apparently, because of their management company, like, they dropped their management company that had something to do with the tour or whatever, and then, so looking back, we were like, oh, that would have been cool, because they were like, we're just about to explode.
Of course, fuck, that's amazing,
And there's somebody else I'm forgetting,
tour.
But it was a crazy tour, and that's how we originally met. And
right.
I had no idea that you were in Broadside now.
Right. Well, back in the day, you know, when I had my stretched ears, I was mad at the world.
Did you have stretched ears?
Yeah,
damn, look, they really recovered well. I can't even tell.
That one's the only bad one right here. But I went to Brooklyn, and there was a scarification guy, and he's like $400, and I'll do it for you. And he killed it, and I was like, dope.
Nice.
But when I decided I wanted to look like a young gentleman, I had to get those fixed. You know, when I stopped having insurance and I couldn't mosh anymore, that's when I had to get my ears on it. No, but yeah, we worked that. We talked to kids about animals. Isn't it also crazy to think the state of shows, like the fact, like PETA wouldn't be working with shows right now.
Why not?
I just don't imagine that people will give a shit. Like,
I think that people still kind of do.
I think they give a shit, but they, like, young people now are just so aggressively in tune with everything that they're not really learning much other than they're learning about themselves and not really learning from the world anymore. Have you caught on to that at all? When, like...
I'm trying to understand what you mean exactly.
Like, you go up to somebody and you don't really educate them on a topic. They probably already have a formulated opinion on a subject because they're constantly stimulated by things in their everyday life, whether it be the internet or fucking just the way people
You think
move.
That's different now than it used to be?
And that's only in 2010. Yeah, I would say so. Because people then are like, I'm here. I'm trying to learn some stuff. I'm going to consume everything I can. And I mean, they probably still look up to...
people aren't as open-minded as they used to be?
I wouldn't say they are. I think people are open-minded in the sense of we do more crazy shit and we've evolved into the idea of doing... You know,
well,
taboo,
it's kind of crazy,
stuff, et cetera, but.
It's kind of crazy. I'm not trying to change the subject, but,
no, go
but
for it.
You talk about that idea, and you know, there's this new app that everyone's like signed up for called Vero or whatever.
I literally have been seeing all day.
I signed up for it and not really knowing what it was,
of
just
course.
Being like, I'll just get my username
because
it's if it's a thing,
ahead of the
then
curve,
like,
yeah.
And I'm thinking in my head, like, another fucking thing
another
I
thing
have
I gotta
to
have.
Check,
yeah.
But I guess the idea of this app is that you're not going to be. Confined to the Facebook algorithm or the Instagram
right.
algorithm, which sometimes is terrible because, like, I saw somebody joking about the new app being like, hey, maybe now I won't see a post from a week ago telling me what time the USA-Canada hockey game is going to start.
Right.
It's like, you know what I mean? And that happens all the time. I'll go through my feed and I follow the Toronto Maple Leafs and I'll see, like, wait, the Leafs played? Oh, no. That was 5 days ago.
Right.
I don't need to see highlights from a game 5 days ago that I've already seen. So this app is supposed to not do that. It's supposed to have, like, be more legitimate. And it's not supposed to do the thing that Facebook does where they, you know, just totally throttle everything you put out.
Right, of course.
To where, like, oh, well, I have, like, Silverstein. We have a million likes on Facebook.
Right.
We never get a million reach, ever. The most we ever get is, like...
up, yeah.
I don't know. We might get 20,000 if we post something about a tour. It's like, oh, great. 20,000 people saw us, unless we want to pay.
Of course.
But even if we want to pay, we don't even get that much. Anyway, so this app's supposed to do that. But the point of what I'm saying here is so much of that, and how it relates back to kids at shows and line, so much of what they know is what they're allowed to know. What
valid,
Facebook
yeah.
and Instagram says, oh yeah, we're going to give you these things based on other things that
you have
already
a common
like.
Interest in, yeah.
So therefore, what happens is everybody gets more and more polarized on their opinions because they're only ever seeing things that are making their point for them again.
Well, if you think about what the fuck these apps are, it's literally a fucking billboard for look at me. Like it says, put your interests, like... post what you like, you choose what you like, you choose who you follow, which is dope. Like, this isn't me being a fucking grandpa about these things. Like, the internet has obviously evolved my band, and that's the only reason why we're fucking here. But, like, you gotta think about it, the fact that it's literally, like, look at what I have and look at what I'm doing. And that's going to affect, whether you believe it or not, it's going to affect the way people view other people in the human form. I'm a giant nerd about that. I can dive into it forever. But you have to think about the way people are being stimulated and interacting on a daily basis based off of liking or choosing not to like someone else's common interest. Like, you're following them because you gave a shit at one point or have a common interest, but you're choosing whether you want to give it attention or not. But you feel like you have to be looking at it, these little windows of people's lives.
Right.
And so... I mean, that's definitely cool, I guess, like, if they're trying to, like, because, you know, the internet keeps you in touch with your friends and, you know, fucking hockey teams and everything that you want to keep in touch with, and that's the beauty of the internet. But at the same time, it's only a matter of time before giant corporations with these fucking billions of dollars are going to step in and be like, well, we got to start incorporating things we need them to see, which...
Oh, that's already happening.
You know? I mean, and that's... so I'm sure Vero is not... I mean, I know it's already happened, hence the algorithms, hence marketing, yada, 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 but... with like Vero and stuff like that, it sucks. It almost sucks because you're like, shit, like, is this going to be another thing, you know? And I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
It could go on forever.
We could talk about it forever.
I know.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about your upbringing. Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
That's where you're from. But I do understand there was a bit of controversy when you started claiming Los Angeles.
Yeah, there was a bit.
What happened with that?
So... a little backstory about me personally. I was born in Huntington Beach, California, by my mother and father, obviously. And then my father separated my mother at a very young age. And my mom and I were homeless in Las Vegas for 3 or 4 years, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She was a kid. So, and her parents were a little, do people get this weird on your podcast? Do they talk about their like
Yeah, dude.
Sad little lives. Okay.
Absolutely. That's what this is for.
Okay. Well, so like, you know, she was a kid. She ran away with this hunk in the army who was older than her. And he eventually, she tried to fill her void, her empty life with a man who promised a lot of things. And he bounced. And so naturally, and then my mom's parents were kind of upset with that naturally. So they were very strict. My grandfather is a Vietnam vet. And mm-hmm. my grandmother is a nurse. So it was just a very... it was a different way of thinking, man. And they were just like, we lost touch with her for a while. So my mom and I were in and out of homeless shelters for a while on the West Coast. She met a man, or her brother had passed away at 18 years old because he had a heart transplant, and the surgery wasn't, heart transplant weren't prominent then.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
That's so probably pretty risky.
It's very risky. So she was reading through a newspaper one day. We're chilling in a laundromat, and there's this man named Mike, and he... was getting a heart transplant. This is an awesome story. He had a heart. This man put on trial. He was a murderer, organ donor, killed him, removed his heart, put it in this man Mike's chest. So he had the heart of a murderer in his chest, which sounds metal as fuck.
Yeah, it does.
But
that sounds pretty
very
intense.
Good guy. So she saw this. She wrote him a letter. He said, my mom wrote from like a fucking what do you call it? Like a laundromat, right? It was like, blah blah blah. We're staying at this shelter only for a little while because we have to move every 2 weeks, because the way shelters work is, and you have to leave during the day, you come back at night. So we leave. I'm like four years old. He writes back and he's like, I'm in the hospital, I don't have any money, I live in a hotel, but I want you to move out here. Here's like $50 for a bus ticket or some shit. And it's like the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So based off of the combination, she had just lost her brother. She only wrote out to this man because he was going through a heart transplant and actually lived through it. He was like, yeah, now I have a brother and sister by him. He passed away in 99. That's when we moved to Richmond, Virginia, which is where my mother's family's from.
Right.
So they finally rekindled their relationship. So after Mike died at 28, which is another thing that fucked me up, because I told you to backtrack. I just turned 29. Like, yeah. I'm older than the only man I ever knew as a father. And that's fucking nuts, right? So we're back in Virginia. And so 12 to, I'd say, like 24, I was in Richmond, Virginia, you know, growing up skating, getting into bands and stuff like that. And then I wanted to go back to LA to chase the dream, but also to just, I feel like I accomplished everything I possibly could in Richmond. And as much as I love that city, I needed to go into a place where nobody gives a shit about you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And LA's the perfect place for that, because I can go Brooklyn and read books and fucking suck Morrissey's dick every day, or I could go be in the West Coast and get sunshine. I was like, I'll stick with the sunshine right now. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't want to die in LA. I don't want to die there. It fucking sucks there sometimes, but I want to accomplish some stuff out there, and I'm doing a lot of writing. I have like a solo R&B thing that I got going on out there, and then I'm going to come back to the East Coast, and I'm going to build an awesome family one day, hopefully.
Okay.
But yeah, wow. People are like, you know, people are a little close-minded with that stuff, but I was like, it's not that serious. It's, but you know,
well, I think
I
there's just a lot of pride, you know, because Richmond is a smaller city. It's like a blue-collar kind of town.
Yeah.
That not, you know. I mean, you look through a magazine and you flip through and you see some band. Chances are they're either from New York or LA.
Valid, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course, and I definitely get that. And that's one of those, again, to re-backtrack, the big picture thing. I was like, yeah, maybe it was stupid to say LA on a shirt, because it was like, I got to respect where the fuck we came from.
Right.
And
well, so, that's the thing. People feel disrespected, and they feel like you don't care about them anymore.
Right, and at first I didn't get that. And now I'm like, I get it. Especially going back then, they still have mad love for us. I was like, I apologize.
And you know what's funny about that is I think of Richmond, Virginia as actually a really cool, like, cool.
It's a
like,
dope
I think
city.
It's, and I don't just mean like it's cool, like I like it, they have cool breweries or whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
But I mean, like, I think as a reputation, I always thought Richmond, Virginia was cool because some really cool bands came from there, like Avail and Strike Anywhere.
And Down to Nothing and all these awesome bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lamb of God. Gwar.
Yep.
Yeah, like, so, like, you know, a lot of pretty legendary
bands.
I
gotta ask you this question. Do you know a band called Conditions?
Of course, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're from, of course.
If
Alex,
it wasn't
yeah.
for Conditions, I fucking wouldn't be in a band at all. They're the greatest band ever. They put us on really hard, and me personally. I was a little fucking angsty teen just going to those shows, sitting in the back and just watching them perform. Alex, of course, was sleeping now, right? I think he's still doing that. And but yeah, man. Fucking
no, we did some
band.
Shows with Conditions, like, right before they broke up.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a terrific band. I didn't know that this is such a big influence on you.
Massive influence. I just love Brandon's lyricism and like his melodies were just so like epic, and their music was just so tight, and they were just like pretty. They had the whole thing, and I was like, "Fuck, that's so rad."
So, okay, so you move. This is, you have very, very crazy.
I know. I dropped
upbringing.
It on you.
Like,
real fast.
I have. Well, it's fine. I have the most normal ass like upbringing ever. So, like, I'm from the suburbs of Toronto. My parents are still together.
That's
my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad had a, you know, a job for DuPont Corporation, like a big corporation. I have one older sister. It's like, it doesn't get more,
cool,
you know, like white picket fences, literally, you know. So, for me, I have so many questions, you know, for you, like,
shoot,
what that
man
was like. I mean, just, 3.5 years basically being homeless in somewhere like Las Vegas, like, what was your mom doing? Like, were you just by her side? Were you guys, like, just sitting on the ground outside?
I mean,
you
dude,
know, begging for money? Were you trying, was she trying to work
so
whatever job
some,
she could get?
We have some fucking horror stories, and, like, I've heard most of them, especially now that I'm a man, I can look at her and understand these things. My mom's literally insane. But that being said, she's got every fucking right to be. But some stories, for instance, like, she would go into Burger King and be like, hey, can I work for a day? And, like, she would tell me, like, some stuff I just will never tell the world because it brings me to tears, and which is okay, but I just don't want to talk about it. But she would, like, hide me outside, and they would, like, a couple of the dudes would be, like, shady and, like, try to trade sex for work with her. And, I mean, Vegas is, it's wild, especially in the, like, slummy parts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
well, my sister actually lives in Las Vegas.
Yeah? Like, Nevada, or...
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, like, yeah.
Is there another one?
No, I meant, like, in the city. Like, is she in the city?
She lives, well, she lives in Summerlin, like, in the suburbs.
Suburbs, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but she's lived there for 12 years. Anyways, but I know Las Vegas
very
well.
So, awesome parts, dope parts, affordable rent. You can get a house out there.
True.
But, so she would do that sort of thing. We'd hang out at laundromats during the day because they had cable and, you know, like, you could wash your clothes or you could just chill in there all day.
Air conditioning.
Very chill, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, we'd, like, bathe in pools and stuff like that at hotels. A lot more slack in the 90s, as opposed to sneaking six dudes in a hotel now is a nightmare. So, like, that's the sort of thing she would do. But a big issue with my mother is that she was very trusting. So she would trust all these people that would promise her things. Like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, come back to my house and blah, 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 blah. And there was, like, a horror story with, like, my mom was assaulted a bunch, and that's why she was like, I'd rather be homeless sleeping in parks than dealing with these fucking shady people.
Right.
And she has a baby. So, I mean, you got to look out for your baby and you. And so, like, for instance, I'll share this story with you because we're here and I'm already in my feelings. She told me this one story, like, she thought she was going to die one night because it was, like, we were in a very gang-affiliated area, obviously, and there was, like, a lot of graffiti, a lot of, like, violence going on. But we would sleep at night in the summers. We would sleep in, like, you know, like, at a playground, like the crawl-through tubes that you can, like, crawl through. We would sleep in those because it's easier to hear sounds because of the plastic vibrations. So if there's any sort of thing. And there was one night she had to, like, apparently hold my mouth shut, like, while, like, dudes were doing, like, graffiti on the outside of the tunnel. And that fucking sounds like, that sounds like a Lifetime movie. It sounds horrible, but... You know, that type of stuff is, like, my mom's badass, but, like, that's the type of thing, you know? And so she was desperate. So I don't know if you're religious or if you believe in spirituality at all, but, like, I'll say this.
Not overly, but
right, that's fair. I'll say this, that the universe was, like, fucking write this random man a letter.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, you know, like, I'm not religious, but I do believe in, like, just movements of people's whole vibe and energy. So the fact that she did that randomly... to me is, like, that's really insane.
So you were able to go to Richmond and have some support and some
semblance
of
a
family,
know, they,
because
I
her family was frequently
family. Exactly.
So that, I guess that was a lot of the way where you learned, you know, values and stuff.
Exactly.
Because
I
you seem like you got pretty.
And that's
head
the thing
is
a lot of people would be like, oh, we expect you to be like kind of scummy or like white trash, like your upbringing. But I think growing up, because after that, after we met with Mike, you know, and he was great for a while, I grew up in trailer parks. All my best friends were hood rats. Like, we just did wild stuff, like, ate ramen noodles, skateboarded, fucking just dope stuff like that. And I was just a quiet dude. I've always been an observer of the world and never been a, like, really bad dude. I've never done, like, a serious drug or anything like that. So I think just coming to VA and having love from, like, a southern type of vibe really matched with what I was trying to do with my life. Like, I had all that hate inside me, but then I met that southern charm and I was like, I should probably do something with this. And I joined a band pretty young, you know.
What was your first band?
My first band was a band called Plagues of a Human Race. It was a metalcore band.
Nice.
And I like to sing.
What year are we talking here?
We're talking 2002.
Okay.
2002, 2003, and 2004. I remember, this is a funny story because it relates to you. Aiden was the first show that I got our breakthrough. We opened for Aiden at the Canal Club upstairs.
Cool.
And they didn't talk to us at all, but.
But you know what? That's fun. Another funny thing too is like we've had a couple local bands on this tour too, and I haven't talked to them. I don't know if that means I'm an asshole, but like, what? I don't know what to
do. What
do
you do?
I see some guy, like, assume he's in the band. Do I walk up to him and be like, "Thanks for playing"? Like, I don't know. Half the time I don't see them, and I wonder if they're just thinking we opened for Silverstein and they didn't even hang out. They were like, "What do they? What do they expect?"
How do you,
like,
what's your vibe now? Like you're a mature dude, like you've been killing it for forever. Like, I see people get starstruck over you, but do you walk into those scenarios? I always wonder, for like someone on your tier, like, do you walk into circles of people that, like, you know when somebody wants to talk to you? And I see you talking to people at the end of the night.
I'm still like, I'm a bit shy too,
right?
Though.
Okay.
And I'm sure this happens to you sometimes. Like, I'll see someone standing outside of the venue,
right?
I don't just assume they're there waiting for me.
Of course, of course.
Like especially this tour, that, like, they might be there waiting for Tonight Alive.
Of course,
they have,
yeah,
like, Tonight Alive has all these super fans and stuff. So I've had a couple times, actually recently, I read something on Facebook. Somebody showed me. They were like, "Oh, the singer for Silverstein, such a dick." I'm like, "What did I do?
Yeah, right. What,
like,
happened?
What could I possibly done?" And apparently, I walked past him, and he wanted to get a picture or an autograph, and I just didn't say anything to him. It's like, well, I don't know. You're standing there. I don't necessarily know that you want, like, I don't know.
Hey, do you want a photograph of me?
Can you imagine if I said that? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, that would be dick move.
Right? So you know, yeah. I guess some people, they think it's obvious. Like, well, I'm standing here waiting, but I don't know. Some people just stand there waiting, and they
That's true.
You know, maybe they're here for fucking picturesque.
So
I don't know.
Just a normal, cat.
I think so. I don't think, you know.
I mean, I would say that we're sitting in a van right now doing this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could have
no. I've spoken enough about myself on these episodes and stuff, and people, regular listeners, probably have some, you know, interpretation of me and who I am, but I really don't think that music or any level of success, I mean, like, come on, marginal success, like, what do you, you know, what's success?
Yeah, what the fuck is,
like,
it?
Like, Paul McCartney, yeah, he's successful. You know what I mean? But, like, there's always a level. Like, everybody wants to be more successful than they are. Everyone thinks there's another level. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to get to that level?
Uh-huh.
Then you get to that level, and then that's not enough.
And then it's just bigger obstacles.
And of course.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm successful. I don't know, whatever. But I will say that I think as a person, I don't think I've changed much at all.
Okay.
Do you think you have?
I would say that I've grown in the sense of I can handle situations better. For instance, like, if you would have told me, like, oh, hey, when you're 29 years old, you're going to walk in front of 2,000 people and just be like, hey, I hope you like me, and I'm going to give you everything I have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a very, like, reserved kind of kid. You know,
right.
Like, I've always been the funny guy, but I've never had an audience. You know, I've just been funny. So, like, my mom would be like, shut up, go to bed, you know. But so I would say that these experiences have definitely, like, made me very giving and receiving. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it now as opposed to I fear it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, some of that comes from experience, but some of that does come from age, too.
Yeah, and that's one
the thing.
I'm
like,
certain,
a lot of people, when you're younger, you know, you think, like, you go, oh, my God, like, 30? That's so old.
I
and
know.
Now I just turned 37, and I'm like,
I'm cooling.
Not old.
Yeah, I'm cooling.
Yeah, I'm not old. But,
I've met
I think,
old people.
Like, but I'm like, 40. Fuck, 40's old, 50's old. But you know when you get to that age, you're going to be like, I don't know,
I'm
not
fine.
Really. Like,
I'm here now, yeah.
And it's amazing how life gets better just because you get this different kind of confidence
as
you get older, and you're smarter and you can handle yourself better, and it really, like, life gets better. So moral of the story is life gets better.
Life gets better. I mean, it definitely does, for sure.
I gotta ask you about the shirts.
Yeah, go for it.
So for people that don't know, and I'll post a picture on the Instagram, Lead Singer Syndrome, at Lead Singer Syndrome, but Broadside, when we were in our hometown of Toronto,
right,
they each wore white t-shirts that had our faces on them.
Yeah.
Each member of the band, a different member. And you were wearing my face on your shirt.
Yep, I had a shame.
With my everyone talks about my blonde streak in the front from 2005.
It's a great promo.
Where did that idea come from?
All right, we were like, okay, look, here's the thing. We are funny, and we're like, we try to be funny. Hold on, look at this awesome van driving by.
Oh yeah, it's like an old Volkswagen van.
Very cool. Sorry.
My grandfather used to have those. Actually, he had like a whole bunch of one as a kid.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he used to like fix them up or whatever. We always had a bunch of those.
You have a great life.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah,
I don't know, because of my grandfather fixed VW van.
I don't care about anything else in your life, just the vans. No, yeah. So we were like, dude, wouldn't it be funny? And we're like I said, dude. I'm not ashamed. We love Silverstein. So we were like, wouldn't it be awesome to make bootleg merch and then just fucking rock it on stage? Because I was like, who knows, dude? Like, we've played camp before. Winnipeg, they don't really fuck with us. Toronto, they kind of like us depending on who we tour with. And I was like, this could go either way. But I know if we run out there and we have these awesome bootleg Silverstein ideas. It was Pat's idea. It's definitely a Pat idea. And he stayed up all night and we went to like Walmart or Target or whatever, got the shirts, got the iron-on shit.
Oh, that's how you did it?
Ironed them on.
They look good.
Oh, thank you, man.
They looked really like high-res, man.
And we were like, let's get promos, because we were going to like get like super duper old promos. But we were like, no, let's get everyone in the band now. And yeah, man. So we just wore them out on stage, and I was feeling good that night. And you did guest vocals during Coffee Talk, because I couldn't stop putting the mic like up to my chest. Because once I saw one group of people laughing, that's all it took for me. I was like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get this group and that group and that group. And then everybody was just trying to take photos with the Dilverstein.
With us.
Dilversteins. The Broadsteins. But they were like, yo, like they would come, one girl came up to me, I was wearing a hoodie. She's like, do you have the shirt on? I was like, yeah. She's like, can you take off the hoodie? I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do that for you.
So, I loved it though. Yeah. I'm glad
you guys weren't like, we don't fucking like you, okay?
Oh no, we like you. We definitely like you guys.
Thanks, man.
We like you a lot. Another thing we have in common, Silverstein and Broadside, is we both, we used to be on Victory Records, and you were on Victory Records.
Right.
And Victory Records is a label that I've talked about a lot. I've had a lot of Victory bands, ex-Victory bands on the tour. I don't think I've had, on the show, I mean, I don't think I've had any current Victory bands before.
Wow.
But it's the kind of thing, like, you're a guy, been on tour with, you know, our band, like, you know, working for PETA, you've been around, you know that Victory has a bit of a reputation.
Naturally, yeah.
And a lot of people there's been legal action against them and statements made about some of their business practices. Yet you guys went and you signed to Victory. How's it been going? And there must have been some sort of fears, I guess, when you started.
Yeah, naturally there were some fears, but we made the decision a long time ago. I was filling in from this band called July from Canada. Their vocalist had just left. And they were about to do a Hit the Lights run. They were about to do a Hit the Lights run with them. And their vocalist had just left. And I was like, I want to, my band had just broken up because our drummer moved to California, ironically enough. And we were like, fuck, he's going to go get married, whatever, we can't be a band. So Broadside took a little split skis after 4 years. And then I went on that tour. It was like a summer run. It was like a month, you know. And I just saw, Hit the Lights. I saw the way that they were vibing. And as much as I love July, it wasn't my type of music. So on my way back, we got an email. It was like, hey, we saw Storyteller. I tell this story on stage every night. Not the full story, but we saw Storyteller on YouTube.
Yep.
We want to give you guys you come out and give you a showcase. Come out to Chicago. So I called each one of these guys individually. Dorian was in a different band on tour. And I was like, your band sucks. Join mine. Please come do this thing. And I called, and I had a 16-hour drive back. And I called each one of them. I was like, I want to do this. Do you guys want to do the showcase just to see what's up? And then some of them are like, dude, but the this and the that. And I'm like, this is a weird experience. Let's go experience it. So we did the showcase.
Right.
And then the next day, Tony was like, yeah, I'm interested in signing you guys. Get a lawyer. And we're like, cool.
Get a lawyer.
Let's let's figure it out. Well, it was probably more like elegant than that. But, you know.
Get a lawyer.
He was like, I'm interested. You know, we'll send the contract over to the lawyer. And I was like, cool, cool, cool.
I've heard that those Victory Records showcases that they do, we didn't do one.
You didn't?
No, Tony came to Toronto and saw us play like a real show.
That's awesome.
But I've heard that the ones that they like rent out a weird
thing. It was a warehouse.
Thing,
and
like the whole staff comes and
they
then nobody.
In. No one talked to
and
us.
And nobody
really,
talks.
Yeah.
And like they play like.
That's a common thing?
I've heard this before.
I thought they were just like trying to fuck with our heads.
I think they are.
We did it, man. And we did. They were like, we rolled. We had this whole plan. I even had this like the fucking the banter ready. And they were like, all right, three songs, go. And I was like, no. So I turned. I was like, and
three songs.
Yeah. And Coffee Talk was one of them before it was called Coffee Talk. And
oh, yeah.
It was funny because, like, we played that. I saw Tony walking around listening to the PAs, and he was like, he came up and he was like, all right, we'll be in touch. And it was, that was literally it. We were like, dude, we're poor. We just spent our last, like, $100 on gas from Richmond, Virginia to Chicago. And then we got that. And naturally, we were a little afraid. And my thought process is, like, you know, I thought about it. I meditated on it. I really fucking put it together. And I was like, do we want to do this? This is our opportunity. No one's biting. Because we had, like, potential interest with, like, a couple other labels before. But things weren't working out because of member changes or whatever, whatever.
Right.
And I was like, dude, I mean, what do you guys want to do? And, you know, we negotiated a few things. And they've been great to us ever since. They let us do what we want to do. They let us write what we want to write. We just give them the records. They're like, cool. I mean, like, we have no complaints, and everyone wants to always talk about that, but it's like, I understand the scenario, I understand the situation I'm in, but at the same time, I am playing the game, and I'm also doing my part, you know? Like,
totally.
That's what else can you do? I want this. I want it so fucking bad, and nobody can tell me that there aren't certain things that you need to do to get there. It's not, you know, as clear. And if it is up to me, I'd fucking go to Sony Records right now. I want a one record deal and I want $1 million. But it's not that fucking easy. You're screaming to a room of people that no one's listening. You know, you got to get
right.
up there. I
right.
need PR. We need PR in
right.
this fucking crazy world.
No, absolutely.
Victory's PR kills it.
They do. They know how to sell records. They always have.
Right. I mean,
there's no question. And you, what's going on next for Broadside? You guys have
so
coming up?
We just announced Slam Dunk.
Yep.
When is this going to air?
Right today.
Oh, today? Okay. Well, there's some other stuff going to happen.
There's some other stuff going to happen.
But we
no,
announced...
I don't like to sit on these
yeah,
podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much going to put it up. Tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we just announced Slam Dunk. We just announced our first ever actual headliners 3 days in the UK. And London's almost sold out, which is pretty dope.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah.
You're doing. Well, plug it. London,
Glasgow,
Manchester, and Glasgow.
Yeah, in Glasgow.
Cool.
And London.
Great.
So and those tickets are on sale now. We're touring with Homebound from the UK and Milestones, who just put out a new record. And we have a couple of European shows that are being worked out with a certain band that someone in your band might manage, or does manage, definitely. And then, let's see. Fuck, I'm so stupid. What else did we announce? Oh, we just announced
have
Galaxy
to,
Fest.
Have you been to mainland Europe
no.
before?
No, we're just in the UK.
Oh, you're going to love it.
We just did Galaxy Camp or Galaxy Camp Fest.
I've heard about this. Yeah, what is this?
It's in Germany and in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's with State Champs and Knuckle Puck and I think Real Friends, maybe. Maybe not. But
That's where I heard about it, yes.
But, like, that's super dope for us. We've never been to Germany. We've never been to fucking Switzerland. So, like, State Champs is our direct demographic. So, like, if they like Champs, they're definitely going to like us.
Right.
So I'm stoked because at least, because I've heard Germany, I've always been terrified because they're very blunt and very, like, I don't like this or do like this. And I was talking to Paul about this the other day, and he
yeah.
was saying, well, they don't have anything to base off of you. So they're just, next time, maybe worry about the critique. But now they're just probably going to listen to you. And I was like, that's rad.
True.
Uh-oh, here it is.
No, I know. I agree with kind of everything that everyone said. See, the thing is yes, like, they are blunt. They'll
okay.
tell you what they like and don't like in Germany for sure. But they really aren't as, like, picky about, like, a sound. Like,
really?
Like, they aren't gonna, like, if you aren't gonna give them exactly that
like
sound that's
specific.
Real hot
right
now right. or whatever, like, they're not as into the trends.
That's dope.
So, you know, it's like a lot of places, like the UK especially, I hate to point it out, the UK really likes to follow trends.
Yeah.
And even the US to an extent, and Canada definitely likes that, like, whatever the hot thing is right now. But with Germany, it's like, you can label it pop punk, you can label it whatever else you want to label it, they'll just be like, is it loud? Does it have guitars? Like, you know, does it rock? Like,
yeah.
what, you know, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
And I love that about Germany. They aren't worried about this band can't play with this band because they're not.
That's super
they're
dope.
You're not post-hardcore. Silverstein's post-hardcore, not emo hardcore. Like,
right.
Like, when you start getting into these ridiculous comparisons, that's not going to happen over there, which I love. But
yeah.
I mean,
I love that too. I'm definitely excited. Again, this is like, it's crazy because, like, we made the decision. Like, again, we canceled the headliner. We're here. We're on this tour. And now it's just like these things are unfolding. And it's like, again, man, like, whatever you believe in. But it's like, It feels nice to overcome a mental stigma or a mental boundary, and then just things just start happening, you know?
Right.
So
no, it's congratulations
Thank
on
you,
that,
man.
Both personally and, you know, professionally with the band. The UK is really seemingly like the pop punk hotbed right now. Like,
yeah,
everyone's going over there.
They
You've been
so
over
much,
there before?
Yeah, we've
How
been
many
there
times?
Twice now.
Yeah.
And they just have such mad love for us, man. Like, the first time we played London, like, we rolled up and I was like, man, we'll see how this is. And kids are just going absolutely apeshit. And I was like, dope. Because I've always romanticized London because,
yeah,
you know, I'm a dumb American. But, like, we get there and it is just as fantastic as I could have imagined. Like, in architecture and just charming accents and just people going ham for you. Like, what else could you possibly ask for?
Absolutely.
Maybe some salt on some food, maybe some pepper or something.
Yeah.
Maybe a little hot sauce. But other than that, we're good, you know?
Yeah, bring your own hot sauce. Sometimes they don't have it.
they definitely do not.
Well, dude, anything else to talk? Oh, I want to ask you about this Baxter project.
Oh, cool.
That you, I just saw you kind of posted on Instagram or something. This is the R&B thing you're working on?
Yeah, so.
What is that?
Primarily, that's my favorite genre of music, is R&B and hip hop. I just love it. I love the energy of it. I love the punk rock of it. I'm not trying to be like one of these.
See, I love the punk rock of punk rock. But anyways,
I love
on.
The punk rock of punk rock, but the world, it's the same thing. It's just a different
fight.
I know
what you mean.
You see what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
So, but I, again, I'm a big romantic kind of guy. So I'm influenced by R&B primarily. So I was like, you know, I waited a long time. I was doing R&B before I joined this band by a sketchy Craigslist guy. I was like, I'm going to sign you. I'm going to get you these deals. And right, I had a couple covers. I had like was like a Amorosa cover and shit online. And the guy that was in the band, he like found me. He was like, I want you to join my band. You have a cool R&B voice. Brrr, fast forward. Here we are. You know, I talked to Victory about it. I talked to everyone because I legally have to. Like, I have
sure.
to let everyone know now that I'm an adult in my band. Hey, I really want to do this R&B project. And it's a perfect window of time because the genres are merging finally. Like, there's, you see like so many young, dope types of people hanging out at different types of shows. So I don't know. I really into like spooky, slow, ambient R&B stuff, but that talks about real shit. So I'm trying to merge the two. And I have a bunch of songs now and actually right after this tour, I'm going to be recording in the studio again. And I'm trying to collect a full record of that and then just hopefully put it out through the right element. And the dope thing about that is being 29 years old, I can talk about my sexuality, my desires in life that don't necessarily translate in a band like Broadside, who's kind of fun and quick and, you know.
Okay.
It could.
So it's going to be a very sexual
No,
record,
it's not
going
to be like, yo, I'm trying to eat chocolate off your toes. It's not going to be anything like that. But it's going to be like just a different, maybe it'll feel sexier. Maybe it'll be the same thing. I won't be like, you know, you can't mosh to this.
The first single will be called Chocolate on the Toes.
Chocolate on the Toe, just the big toe.
Chocolate on your big toe.
Chocolate on your big toe, girl.
Big in brackets, yes. You heard it here first on Lead Singer Syndrome. No, dude, thank you, man, for doing this.
Dude, Shane,
and,
thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear this all the stuff you're doing, and I think sky's the limit. So it's been a great tour. I hope you guys had fun.
Thank you so much. I love Silverstein so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Ollie. All the best.
Later, brother.
So there it is with Ollie. A great conversation and some pretty crazy stuff, man. Like, what an upbringing. Could not be more different than my upbringing, but hey, that's why we do this show. Talk to people from all different walks of life, and it's really great to see that band taking off, doing so well, because they're a band that has great songs. And if there's one thing that I've talked about on the show before about why I think bands stand the test of time or don't, I think the bands that write great songs are the bands that stick around. Speaking of great songs, I will leave you with a tune. Before I get into that, I want to thank you guys again for being part of this, listening to this. Remember, we've got all sorts of back episodes with other pop punk bands and everything. Go through. I'm sure there's some of your favorites. And of course, whatever you're listening to this on, make sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you like the show, write a review, preferably 5 stars, on iTunes. Thanks again for tuning in. Here is Hidden Colors by Broadside on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We will see you next time.
I wanted to write you another of my songs. I always end up where